It's a True Faith podcast from a living room in Sydney, Australia. It's me, Si Campbell, old school, with Alex Dodgy. We've just watched a very, very painful 90 minutes of just not football from two very poor teams. We'll jump straight into it because it's 4 a.m. here. Dodgy, is there any positive to take from that game, or was it just a shit show?
It can be both, Si. There's always positives, I think, and it's one of the worst games of football I've ever seen, and I've watched a lot of games of football, probably like a lot of people listen to this. So before we get into the negatives, we may as well be positive. It's a clean sheet. We defended well. I don't think there was anything wrong with that as a defensive performance. Not that we had too much to defend. I thought Carl Darlow was excellent in goal. I thought he came off his line well. He made the two saves he was required to make. He made very well. His distribution was good. I think he's probably played himself into the lineup for Stoke, regardless of Elliot's fitness. I also think that, you know, we'd lost 5 home games in a row. The chronic lack of confidence you saw on the side today might take a massive boost because of the fact that we haven't lost a game. And, you know, that what we've seen right there, Si, that's the Everton game again. Yeah. Basically, but we haven't got beat. So, you know, people might think I'm being needlessly optimistic, but you've got to take something.
Yeah, I think what I'd say is it was terrible. It was terrible. But their keeper will probably get man of the match. We've had the best of the chances. We just haven't had anywhere near enough of them. You know, yeah. We've had two or three decent chances, but that's not enough when you're the home team in the Premier League in a big game. So, but absolutely, we've been marginally the better side, and as you say, picking up a point after the run of home games we've had isn't the worst thing in the world, but we kind of need more at this stage. So where do we go from here? Is it just a case of, right, it's a point on the board, we'll go again at Stoke? Does Rafa need to change something?
What worries me is we'll have Swansea at home next, and I don't know what the plan. We'll have Swansea the next home game, sorry, we've got Stoke, obviously, like you said. The Stoke plan is surely what we saw against West Ham. So we're all right there, playing the counter-attack, play with pace, play with two sitting midfielders. I don't know what the plan was there in the first half. If anyone listening can tell me, or tweet us at TFWT Pods, like, knowing the instructions the players were given in that first half particularly, I have no idea. There was no pressing. I was really hopeful we'd see the kind of pressing game we saw against West Ham at home earlier in the season, which paid dividends. Stoke were pressed and dropped quite effectively through the game, but there was just absolutely nothing there. Point on the board, we'll have to be positive, we'll have to move forwards, we can't just give up, but the other team's winning's what done it. There's no point looking too much at other teams' results when you can't do it yourself, but Bournemouth and Swansea getting wins there has put we're right in the shit. And as someone just tweeted us there, our running's horrendous, the last 8 games is a piss take. Worrying times indeed.
Yeah, I mean, as you say, first half there, it was just frustrating watching us just let them, you know, they were just letting us have the ball and we didn't know what to do with it. They were happy to sit in their own half, 11 men behind the ball, and say, right, what he's got, and we didn't really have anything. They were just waiting for the mistake, because the mistakes keep happening. So they were just sitting there, we give them the ball, and then they've tried to catch us in the break, which we've handled well, to be fair, but it's not good enough just to be able to contain a Brighton counter-attack at home.
There's so many individual performances. I mean, so there's one thing. It's one thing talking about tactics and team selection and instructions, but then there's also the fact that some of those performances there from this place. I mean, Mikel Merino has just played like he's had tea. You know, when you play 5-a-side and someone turns up, they've had a full tea, and they literally kind of like, when you've had like a full like roast dinner before playing footy, you literally can't function. You can't kick a ball. You can't trap a ball. You can't pass. That, from Marino there, who I love, that's one of the worst performances I've ever seen from a centre midfielder at St James's Park. And I find it frustrating that I sat and spoke to Norman after the Leicester game and said that we're playing two kids in centre midfield and Hayden Marino against, more often than not, 3 centre midfielders. It was shite then. And we've seen the same today. Now, Hayden, actually, I thought, got a lot better in the second half. I thought he was hiding in the first half. He got better in the second half. But Marino, I mean, I was texting Norman during the game saying, this kid needs hooked. He needs taken off. And you know what? There's so much there's so much surrounding team selection that's so hard to put your finger on because you don't know the ins and outs. Could Shelvey play two games in 3 days? Is he fit enough? Was it tactical? But I wrote in my special, John Joe Shelvey makes a difference against Brighton, and he hasn't started in the day, and I just can't say, because Hayden and Marino, unless they're pressing and being proactive, are so poor on our passages that we've just, I don't know, I think if I'm Brighton and I see Marino and Hayden playing centre midfield, I'm delighted.
Yeah, I agree with that. Shelvey probably could have made the difference if he'd played a bit earlier. I think you've hit the nail on the head with the individual performances. To win football matches, we basically need everyone to have a good game. Mm. Two or three players, so I'm talking Marino, Atsu, Richie, if they have a bad game like they did here, we've just gotten out. We've really gotten out. Atsu was poor, really poor. Nothing in the final third. Richie just couldn't get in the game. Where do you go from there? Well, how are we going to score a goal if we're only options or having a bad game? We're just... It points itself to the transfer window. We really need reinforcements desperately, but...
I can't see what... Yeah, we need reinforcements and we need players to come in, but I just can't see we're getting the type of player that has the quality we need to make a difference. The formation made no sense to me. 4-4-2, it worked at West Ham. Delighted. Great. Worked brilliant. It hasn't worked, apart from in that game, apart from the first half against Bournemouth. Look at the games we've had. It didn't work against Watford. It didn't work second half against Bournemouth. It didn't work second half against Everton. And it hasn't worked either half today. Now, these are the home games I'm talking about. I just don't get it. Gale and Hosslew basically didn't pass to each other. They weren't in tandem with each other. I'd argue it worked at Man United, 4-4-2, but we got beat 4-1. It was a real strange one to me, not playing Perez behind Hosslew.
Yeah.
And going from there, but again, there's so much going on, you don't know. The game's in such a short period of time. It's just, I don't know, Si, like, it's hard. I don't know whether to get really annoyed about the tactics, really annoyed about individual performances, or really annoyed that about the context of the result, or, you know what, is it all three? Should we just be annoyed at everything, even though there are positives to take? And I really fear for this team now, and it's the first time I've said it this season. I didn't say it during six defeats in a row. I saw enough there in those games, the likes of West Brom, the likes of Man United, first half against Bournemouth, first half even against Everton, but I didn't see anything there today, anything at all, that suggested to me that Newcastle will stay in this division. I don't know if you agree.
It's, yeah, the point being that that's a game you have to win to stay up. If we can't win against that Brighton side, who are poor, really poor, albeit they played a very, very defensive game and made it very difficult for us. There's no way we struggled to score goals. So I guess you've got to give credit to Chris Hughton for setting them up to just, you know, they were more than happy with a 0-0 draw and they got it.
Well, that's the thing, though. That's the thing about the setup. In the first 30 minutes, we had zero shots.
Yeah.
That can happen. That can happen when a team plays extremely defensively. That can happen when a team gives you all of the ball and you struggle to break them down. But that wasn't the case. And I know you said Brighton got 11 men behind the ball, and they did when they were in defensive situations. But I just don't understand. The start of the game was so sluggish, and that sluggish start translated into the 90 minutes. How many times did players kick the ball out of play with no one near them, or miscontrol a ball, or Mikel Merino tackled himself about 15 times? I can't explain that performance. And, you know, we talked in the podcast, Si, which I'm sure you listened to, after Man City, about the ends justifying the means for Man City in playing in an aggressive attacking team. Today, in what we thought was a must-win game, it was definitely a must-not-lose game. I'm honestly at a loss to explain what we've just watched.
Same. I'm speechless, really, because I was excited to see after the West Ham game, and after albeit very defensive but respectable result against Man City, thought, yeah, we're going to turn this around here, we're going to start picking up points, and it's just, yeah, we've got a point today. But
because I've just seen Watford at home again, and we did the podcast after Watford, didn't we?
Yes.
And we kind of vented for the first time that season, and and I said on that podcast, you know, it's one game in 30 game season, you're allowed to have a stinker, particularly as a newly promoted team. The fact that I've just seen that performance again against a far worse side, who are still 3 points ahead of us in the league, doesn't fill me with hope. Now, Si, if we go to Stoke and get a point, is that now acceptable? Do you think now Stoke is now a must-win game?
We can't keep just accepting a point. From the Christmas period, you've taken 4 points. So if we're going to win there, I think that's all right. Another draw, really. What would 2 points return from the games after Christmas? It's not enough. It's not enough in the position we're in. So absolutely, I think we need to win there now. And it's very doable. You know, Stoke aren't a very good side at the minute. They've just taken a hammering tonight.
Rest of the players for.
Well, yeah, of course, but you know, this is what we did against Man City. They've taken a 5-0 battering. That can't be good for their confidence. So we've just got to go at them again.
And that's the thing. It's almost like we're going to have to go gung-ho against Stoke. And listen, we've beaten Stoke this season. And you mentioned that you thought Christian Atsu was poor. One of the things that pisses off tonight about Atsu, apart from his excellent delivery for the Dwight Gayle chance, was that there were times, it wasn't just him, it was Hosolu as well. Both Hosolu and Atsu were guilty of taking ridiculous, unrealistic shots from outside the box.
And
Gayle. When they had those shots were the only times in the game we were overloading on one of the sides, yeah, and we had players in time and space. Atsu in that like 2 minutes from time has got Jonjo Shelvey on the edge of the box in an ocean of time and space. Hosolu in the first half's got Atsu, and it's like, do you think it's a lack of confidence? Is a lack of confidence making them do that? But that doesn't make any sense, because a lack of confidence wouldn't mean you pass to your teammate in oceans of space, or sorry, you would, rather than take the shot. So what the fuck are they playing at?
It's almost like watching Sunday League kids play. Like, they all want to be the goal scorer. They're all shooting from stupid places. There is an element of, we've just been so sloppy and giving away the ball when we've got chances by doing too many passes. So perhaps Rafa said, look, just get yourself in position and have a go. You know, we don't know what they've been told in terms of, if you get a chance to shoot, just have a shot. But that's what it seemed like, because they've always taken that option instead of, as you've said, three or four times where there was just a player in miles of space, and we had more attackers than they had defenders at the time. Really, really odd, really strange that it wasn't just one player as well. You know, when it's Mourinho, you think, oh, he's wanting to stand out, or when it's Gayle, he's like, he's desperate to score. But when they're all doing it, it's like they've been told.
Well, it's not just on that specific point, it's on the performances as well. For so many individual players to have an absolute stinker, like, you just wonder what's gone on. Is it lethargy from the Christmas period? But everyone fucking plays the same games. Chris Hughton also rested players at Chelsea for tonight. I don't know, Si, like, we're kind of supposed to be talking about the match and providing answers, and I just don't have any answers for what we've just seen. And it's not the end of the world. You know, a point is a point. It's better than nought. You know, we'd have definitely, at the end of that Everton game, when we felt as low as we did, the point would have been brilliant there. You know, we're probably burgled 3 points off Palace, didn't deserve. It's a real worrying time. And I don't know, his substitutions today, he brought on Jonjo Shelvey far too late. He was crying out for Shelvey. And then, I don't know, Perez and, what's his name?
Murphy.
I don't know what else Rafa can do, because there's such a limited pool of players to bring on when we start with the strongest team like this. I mean, we didn't have a striker on the bench. We're playing Premier League games and we don't have a striker on the bench.
We need players. Rafa will be desperate to make signings on the 1st of January. We don't need players on the 30th of January. We need players on the 1st of January. I don't know who or what. We need anything. We need squad players, because, as you say, we're too predictable, because it's almost obvious how we're going to set up. It's obvious what substitutions he's going to make. We're just so easy to play against. And I think even for Brighton, who haven't been in the best form, probably looked at this game and thought, we'll stop the rot here, we'll get an easy point, because we know exactly how to play against these lads. And that's a worry.
The worrying thing is Brighton, these teams are playing each other and they have to pick up points. It's like us against Stoke, one of us has got to pick up points. Brighton are playing fucking Bournemouth, and we're in the position now where I need fucking Brighton to win against Bournemouth for us. Yeah. And it's like, fuck's sake, when did we start relying on Brighton for results? Green Street County said it was during the match, it was like a championship game. It wasn't. I watched loads of championship football last season, and the standard was infinitely higher. The mistakes were far less than that game today. And it's like, it worries me, Si, that we went from playing Brighton at home last season, how good we were. It's the same team. We played the same team, they played the same team. It's the same fucking team we've played, and how we were free-flowing. We're defensively good. We created chances. Johan Gufran had a very good game.
Yeah.
As did Jonjo Shelvey. However, we're going to have to talk about January. We're going to talk about, you know, signings and stuff and money and Ashley Bean and what he's done to this football club and Rafa Benitez. But however we regressed He played nine of that team today. It was basically the team that got promoted plus Hossolu Marino. How have they regressed as much in terms of the home game? Or am I thinking of it in too simplistic terms? Just because it's the same opposition doesn't necessarily mean I need to compare the two.
Obviously, they've added players, but no, it's confidence, isn't it? Last season, we were, I suppose when we played Brighton at home, we'd only just started winning games, but we're still playing with confidence. We looked good, we looked comfortable on the ball, and we've just come off the back of, what, 9 defeats in 10 or something like that. The lads just, there's no enterprise there. There's no attempt to do anything that's risky. We're the home team, and no one's willing to make a through ball, make a pass that might create something. Everyone's just going straight back. We're passing it across the defence until we kind of run out of space, and it just screams lack of confidence. And Rafa warned us that this would happen. Rafa knew that we'd go through a bad spell. It's very hard to come out of that, especially when we've got so limited options to keep it fresh.
How can we play like we did at West Ham? And then is it more that the home form's so bad, that the home crowd's so edgy?
I don't know. I mean, we couldn't get that much of a feel for the atmosphere today. There didn't seem to be much from either end. Just a very flat St James's Park, but understandably so. Freezing cold December. I can imagine there'd just been nothing to get excited about. I don't know. You're right. It's really hard to put your finger on it. What's the problem? There's lots of them, but
it's like we go to Stoke and we beat Stoke, and Norman's doing your podcast after Stoke. Me and Si might join him. And if we win, it's back to piss Norman, buzzing off his tits, like, yeah, we're going to fucking win the league. And we're fine again. And that's football, it's the ups and downs. And it's not the result today. That's the thing, it's not the result. Just say we battered Brighton there, and it's like when we did the post Bournemouth podcast, we're very positive because even though we're shite in the second half, Bournemouth were very good. There was enough in that game to think, you know what, we were unlucky there. We could have won that game 3-4-0. That was never on the cards today. First goal won that game, just like it did at their place. But just to be positive, sign, completely switch it around on you. Brighton are 3 points ahead of winning the league. Now on 22 points. There don't really seem to be any danger of getting relegated. They didn't look any better than we.
No.
So is it just a case of tweaking a couple of things to make sure we draw with Everton at home, to make sure that we maybe win that game against Swansea? Is the standard at this level so bad that it's just minor changes that we need to make, or is the problem much bigger than that?
No, I think you're right. We've said it all season as well. Like, we've not, apart from Man U and Chelsea and Watford at home, which was a disgrace.
It's only 3 out of 22 games though.
Yeah, every other game we've been in it, and it's not been brilliant. There's been a lot of really poor games in there, but we've always, you know, a bit of luck or for a free kick or a penalty or something, we could nick it. Just one less mistake, we could get a point. One less mistake, we'd get 3 points. I think what we need at the minute in games like today is something to ignite it. We needed like a bit of, you know, a bit of controversy to get the crowd going, to get the players up for it, because it just was a bit lethargic. I think what happened at West Ham is we went behind and we suddenly saw a totally different team. Then we took the game to them and smashed them. If we'd went behind early today, I think we would have had a bit of reaction, or if something had happened, a red card or a bad tackle, a bad decision. When the game's just nothing in the first half, was there a shot on target by either side? Can't remember. Did Dalo maybe caught one? But just when nothing's happening for either team, it's even harder, it seems, for us to get ourselves up for, right, we'll have this then. It doesn't seem to happen.
I feel that Swansea's going to answer so many questions. Swansea and Stoke, there's our season right there. We come away with 5 points from these three fixtures. It's acceptable. It's 5 extra points, but we're moving in the right direction. We'll look forward to the second half of the season with the likes of Bournemouth away, Palace away, Burnley at home, Huddersfield at home. They all scream points, so they should do. And there's plenty to play for. We lose at Stoke, and the shit is hitting the fans big time. Massive game that sold out away, and as per, it's just a kind of scary part of the season. And I just think, I mean, we're at 4:13 a.m. here, so we've been up a long time. We've travelled today, so I don't know. Maybe people are let us know are we overreacting, but it's certainly not a total meltdown or panic stations in terms of everything's shit. There were positives to take there, however, the I don't know, like we've said, the fact that there seemed to be no plan in the first half, the fact that Brighton and Hove Albion could go 30 minutes at St James's Park without facing a shot on goal suggests to me, suggests to me that there was no plan there, that Rafa planned to play 4-4-2 and thought the players would know what they were doing, and they just didn't. The players looked to be without a plan, and Paul Dummett's just come back. You saw the limitations of Dummett at left back in terms of an attacking force, but a good cross in the second half. But we're back to that stage where what we've seen from Mankeo, and by the way, Dummett is infinitely more defensively sound than Mankeo, and I think it's positive that he's back. But I think on a game like today, considering Dummett played against Man City, Mankeo might have been a better option just to push them back that little bit more, because Matt Ritchie, what was that from Matt Ritchie today? How could he be so good at West Ham? And what was that from?
I don't know. I think when you're playing the Premier League these days with two centre midfielders, as I say, 4-4-2, you're putting a lot of pressure on your wingers to find space and to get your team into goal scoring positions. Ritchie was picking up the ball on the halfway line, and he's not that quick. Yeah. And he's not that skillful, and he's not that big, so he asked an awful lot of him to get us somewhere, and he couldn't. I don't think he put one cross in. I don't think he beat his man more than a couple of times.
It was a very strange moment in the second half where he beat three men and ran the ball out of play. Yeah. And it's the same with Marino. Like the fourth time Marino tackled himself under no pressure to give the ball back to them, you need hooked, mate. Like, I don't know what's going on mentally with you. It's like Matt Ritchie was giving the game off, so was Marino against Man City, and if that was the performances they put in, they may as well have fucking played.
Yeah.
It's just...
It's frustrating that it's only December and we keep coming into games like this, and it's like, this is a must win. That can't be good for the players. Like, that pressure at home, 52,000 quite temperamental, freezing cold fans, it seems like the pressure's getting to them a little bit. We looked nervous when we started the West Ham game, and as I say, it wasn't until we'd gone behind that we just seemed to play without the pressure and suddenly look good again. I don't know how we'll handle that pressure, because I imagine hearing every week, been seeing in the news and on social media, this is a must-win game, we have to get 3 points here, anything less isn't good enough. The players look scared, and it's not good enough just to sit there scared. You know, they should be professional, but We need something to relieve this pressure, and it's 3 points somewhere.
You know what we need? We need a home win.
Yeah.
We need to beat Luton. I don't know, it sounds silly, we need to beat Luton, but if Luton come and turn over or get a replay, that kind of fear of playing at St James's Park is just going to escalate again. We obviously need the points against Stoke, but Swansea at home now, fucking hell. I can't, you know, I looked at my fucking app, 85 minutes, Everton getting a point at Bournemouth, Swansea getting beat, happy days, this is shite, but at least we're going to move away from these teams, or they're not going to catch. There's a chance we're in the relegation zone for New Year's Day, and just serious questions for everyone at Newcastle United, from the players, the managers, the owner, the people that have to conduct the transfer business. It's like, we need to be better than this. The fans need to be better. There was no atmosphere that day, and I appreciate it's shite watching that, and I appreciate that it's frustrating, but I heard Si from the telly, and I hate doing this because we're not at the match, we're in fucking Sydney at 4:13 a.m. on a Sunday morning, but too many groans, too many boos, too many...
Yeah.
And it's like, it was frustrating because, you know, I think I was pointing out during watching the game, the amount of times that a Hayden or a Perez or someone would pick the ball up in space in midfield, and you're like, turn, run at them, do the things that we did last season, and it would go back to Kieran Clark, who would be closed down, who would go back to Lascelles, who would go back to Carl Darlow, who would go back to Lascelles. Lascelles takes about 10 steps forwards and launches a ball, and Brighton have got the ball back. Now, frustratingly for us, the fucking idiot producer of Premier League World or whatever we've watched this match on Optus, constantly, any time there was a remote chance or a foul, would cut to a replay straight away while the game was going on, which is infuriating. I presume everyone else watching a stream or watching it around the world has had to put up with the same thing. But the amount of times that Brighton just had the ball back, lol. Newcastle United versus Brighton Hove Albion is now available on demand to rewatch.
Play.
Si, what does he do for Stoke? Who does he play?
I don't know. I don't know what I change here. Diome and Saive, get them straight back in. Now, as you say, Marino had an absolute stinker. I don't know what was up with him today. Hayden had a perfectly all right game, but it didn't. One centre midfielder having an all right game isn't really enough. I think what showed about Saive and Diome's performance at West Ham was again that they didn't seem to play like they were under pressure. So I don't know what you've mentioned. The fans, I think, away from home, we're in a better position because it's not that expectation. It's not off the back of six defeats in a row, whatever it's been at St James's. There is a reason the fans are struggling to stay positive. But
we've scored two goals, both in one game in like six home league games.
But
which
if you think back to last
relegation
season,
form.
All the massive 6-pointers last season, like Brighton away, Huddersfield away, we went to those places, and the home teams were the ones under pressure. We were just there to basically, we're going to win here, lads. Brighton at home was electric. Some of these games were brilliant last season, great atmospheres. It's hard to create that atmosphere when you're in the position we're in, though, and we have to maybe... The players have got to do their part, you know, they've got to do better than they did today, but I think Rafa keeps saying it, we've all just got to pull together
and try and
force a result, because we're capable of it.
That's the thing about day, it's like, to be positive again, we were fucking shit, but we've come away with a point, and like, I've always found that the hallmark of relegated teams or really bad teams or that... they manage to lose points when they play quite well. We're not really like that.
Yeah.
Bournemouth aside, but again, we're shite against Bournemouth the second half. Now, you can't just be rubbish all the time. But you know what? We could have, in theory, there's nothing actually from the game to show we could have nicked it in the last 10 minutes. But if we'd nicked it in the last 10 minutes, at least like you said earlier, Si, great points. We're staying in games and we're giving ourselves a chance. It only works for so long, but you know what? At the time of speaking, and quite possibly at the time of listening, we are not in the relegation zone. So no meltdowns, no, we're not cut off, we're not this, we're not that. We're, at the moment, and since October, we're a very bad football team, trying to compete against a lot of other very bad football teams. And we've got a point tonight after playing very badly against a similarly bad team. you know, but it's not the end of the world. We just have to go to Stoke and win. And it's going to Stoke and win the most improbable thing in the world? Well, no, it's not. Probably not the favourites with the bookies, but it can't happen. Then we'll win against Stoke, we'll win against Luton, we'll bounce into Swansea, we'll beat them, and then we're just class for the rest of the season, maybe, possibly.
You went maybe one or two or three too far there, but yeah, no, why not? Again, I said at the start, their keeper will probably get man of the match there for two saves because there was no one else to pick.
There's no one.
No one else on the pitch gets man of the match. So in that sense, if any team was going to win that, it was us. It was just we just didn't create enough in the end. But something's got to give. Something's got to give.
He needs to find his best team, and this is a criticism of Rafa. And I know it's like I also want to contradict myself because he's bringing Jose Perez in for fucking Hossley or Dwight Gayle. Is that really going to make the difference? Is bringing in Florian Lejeune for Kieran Clark going to make the difference? Is bringing in Manquillo for Paul Dummett like? Probably not. These players are all very much of a muchness. On the other hand, I'm still desperate to see Shelby and Marino play together. Not that Marino, by the way. That Marino needs to never ever come back to England or the world. But Shelby and Marino against Liverpool were a constant threat to Liverpool because of their ability to play the ball. Not that Hayden's done anything wrong. But like you say, against Stoke, you know, here we are fucking... What's it now? Is it New Year's Eve now? So yeah, 31st of... January 2017, and I'm advocating a Henry Saive and Mo Diame partnership at Stoke because it was better than anything we've seen in the past 6 weeks. So it won't happen, but you know, just go and win, lads. Just break the malaise, which is entrenched over the fan base right now. And I've not even looked at social media, but fucking hell, I imagine it's a right mess.
Yeah.
I imagine the NUFC hashtag is a sight for sore eyes.
Yeah. Well, we'll probably stay clear of that. And as the sun is about to come up here in Australia, I think we'll leave it there because there's not much more to say from that dour game.
Keep the faith, though. We'll get it right. I'm sure we'll stay up, man. It's like, you know, not all of the players can't be that shy to get on one game. So we've got that one out the road. And I'm sure we'll win at Stoke. Norman, like I said, normally be at the match. And we might join him if the others can't, the likes of Charlotte, Chubbs, Ben, Bolin, Mickey, etc. And normally back for you after Stoke. Thanks so much for listening. It's like, we really appreciate all the people listening to this many podcasts in December. It feels like December, or like the last 6 weeks has just been podcast after podcast after podcast. It's quite the effort for people to stick with us like this and listen to them. So thanks very much, and keep the faith. Everything will be all right.